After the end of the Battle of Kurukshetra, the Lord said, "The abatement of the earth's great burden, 18 Akshohinis, has now been effected by the help of Drona, Bhishma, Arjuna, and Bhima. But what is this? There is still the great strength of the Yadu dynasty, born of myself, which may be more unbearable burden." Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is a wrong theory that due to an increase in population, the world becomes overburdened, and therefore there are wars and other annihilating processes. The earth is never overburdened. The heaviest mountains and oceans on the face of the earth hold many more living entities than there are human beings, and they are not overburdened. If a census were taken of all the living beings on the surface of the earth, certainly it would be found that the number of humans is not even 5% of the total number of living beings. If the birth rate of human beings is increasing, then the birth rate of all other living beings is increasing proportionately. The birth rate of lower animals, beasts, aquatics, birds, etc., is far greater than that of human beings. There is an adequate arrangement for food for all the living beings all over the earth by the order of the Supreme Lord. And He can arrange more and more if there is actually a disproportionate increase of living beings. Therefore, there is no question of an increase in population causing a burden. The earth became overburdened due to dharma glani, or irregular discharge of the Lord's desire. The Lord appeared on the earth to curb the increase in miscreants, and not the increase in population, as it is wrongly put forward by the mundane economist. When Lord Krishna appeared, there had been a sufficient increase in miscreants who had violated the desire of the Lord. The material creation is meant for fulfilling the desire of the Lord, and His desire is that the conditioned souls who are unfit to enter into the kingdom of God have a chance to improve their conditions for entering. The entire process of cosmic arrangement is intended just to give a chance to the conditioned souls to enter the kingdom of God, and there is an adequate arrangement for their maintenance by the nature of the Lord. Therefore, although there may be a great increase in population on the surface of the earth, if the people are exactly aligned with God consciousness and are not miscreants, such a burden on the earth is a source of pleasure for her. There are two kinds of burdens. There is the burden of the beast and the burden of love. The burden of the beast is unbearable, but the burden of love is a source of pleasure. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti describes the burden of love very practically. He says that when the burden of the husband on the young wife, the burden of the child on the lap of the mother, and the burden of wealth on the businessman, although actually burdens from the viewpoint of heaviness, are sources of pleasure. And in the absence of such burdensome objects, one may feel the burden of separation, which is heavier to bear than the actual burden of love. When Lord Krishna referred to the burden of the Yadu dynasty on the earth, He referred to something different than the burden of the beast. The large numbers of family members born of Lord Krishna counted some millions and were certainly a great increase in the population of the earth. But because all of them were expansions of the Lord himself by his transcendental plenary expansions. They were a source of great pleasure for the earth. When the Lord referred to them in connection with the burden on the earth, he had in mind their imminent disappearance from the earth. All the members of the family of Lord Krishna were incarnations of different demigods, and they were to disappear from the surface of the earth along with the Lord. When he referred to the unbearable heaviness on the earth in connection with the Yadu dynasty, he was referring to the burden of their separation. Srila Jiva Goswami confirms this inference. Sri Uddhava is here in remembering Lord Krishna at this very historical time when he decided, and the ways and the means by which to dispatch his eternal associates, the Yadus, back to their original abode. It is described herein that Krishna is calling his own dynasty, who are primarily his own expansions, as a burden on the earth. And with the help of his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is revealing the most treasured realizations of the previous acharyas, such as Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, we can understand what this burden actually means. When there is a burden, it is generally considered to be a great hardship. In fact, at the very beginning of the 10th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described how Bhumi, in the form of a cow, appealed to Lord Brahma and ultimately to Lord Narayana of how much she was suffering due to the burden upon her of so many demoniac kings and rulers who were exploiting her resources. Actually, Bhumi Devi, the goddess of the earth, is an expansion of Lakshmi. She is a consort of the Lord. We were discussing just the other day how Bhumi Devi is an expansion of Satyabhama, who is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. And the eternal consort of Lord Varahadev that we worship in so many beautiful deity forms in various holy places is Bhuvaraha. His consort is Lakshmi Devi in her form as the goddess of the earth. And by Lord Varahadev's touch of the body of the earth, Bhomasura was born. At the beginning he was Bhoma, but due to the bad association of Banasura, he became from Bhoma to Bhomasura. So the earth goddess is actually Lakshmi Devi. And as we know, Lakshmi Devi is always immersed in her loving service to Lord Narayan. The traditional formal pose of Lakshmi Devi is to be at the feet of Narayan, giving him nice massage, worshipping his feet. One great manifestation of Lakshmi is Sita. Sita Devi, how faithful and chaste she was to Lord Ram. Her every thought, her every action, her every word was only for the pleasure of Ram. And similarly, this is the mood of Lakshmi. And the original of all Lakshmis is Srimati Radharani, whose life, her soul, her everything is only the pleasure of Krishna. Her existence is only for the pleasure of Krishna. So the earth is predominated by the deity of the expansion of this great personality. And therefore, everything about Mother Earth is only for Krishna's pleasure. Every mineral that comes from her body is for the pleasure of Krishna. Every single vegetable and fruit, everything we eat is coming from Mother Earth. Everything that we know of that exists, that is sustaining our lives, is coming from the Mother Earth. Every jewel in her mines is being created by her for the pleasure of Krishna. Every fruit, vegetable, grain, and herb is coming from her womb as an offering to Krishna. All of the oil, everything within the earth is simply her offering to Krishna. All the wood of the trees that are growing in the forest is her offering of love to Krishna. So human civilization is to assist our mother. She is called Mother Earth, because she is born, she is the mother of all of us. We say our mother is same flesh and blood. Well, the fact is, most of our body, the predominant element is earth. Why? Because our mother is earth. Our body is composed only of her ingredients and elements that she has given us. So, if Mother Earth has billions and trillions and quadrillions of children who are all helping her celebrate the glories of the Lord, that is a burden of love. The more the burden, the happier she becomes. Mother Earth could actually maintain quadrillions of living beings, even human beings, happily, and supply unlimited resources for all of us to live blissfully if we were all simply living in harmony with her, assisting her in offering everything she creates to Krishna. But one dishonest person, one cheater, one person who is exploiting her resources and trying to steal it for their own prestige or their own sense enjoyment, that is an unbearable burden to the earth. Srila Prabhupada is speaking in very practical spiritual terms about this great illusion of the population explosion, of how dangerous it is. The problem is not an overpopulation. The problem is an overpopulation of miscreants, of rascals, who are exploiting the earth, and therefore she is withdrawing her own energies. She is not supplying. She is reacting, she is responding to the demoniac ways people are dealing with her. You don't want to use what I'm giving you in the service of my Lord? I won't give. That is why as Kali Yuga progresses, as irreligion progresses, there is less and less supplies of the basic needs of life. It's just like if you are a devotee, a very, very, very sincere devotee, will you want to give the deity's personal paraphernalia to someone who's going to go out and use it for their own materialistic purposes? You will say, no, you cannot have it. I will not give it. So eventually Mother Earth, she is giving us the reactions to our own karmic activities. She allows us to use for some time, but eventually it's such a burden on her. During the time of Prithu Maharaj, the earth was not supplying anything. There was a tremendous drought. And Prithu Maharaj, when he became king, he said, you supply. But it's a long story. The earth took the form of a cow. And ultimately she explained to him, before you, Maharaj Vena was king. And he was misusing everything. And after Maharaj Vena, there was no king. And the dacoits and the materialistic people, they were controlling everything. So therefore, I withdrew everything. I withdrew all my supplies because they were not using it in your service. How much, if the earth planet is an expansion of Goddess Lakshmi, how much can she provide? What limit is there for Lakshmi to supply to anyone? Do you think she has to grow in size to give more? She's a divine being. Lakshmi Devi, through the palm of her hand, can supply unlimited wealth, unlimited resources, unlimited everything. It's not that she needs an entire planet. Just from one of her fingers, she can emanate everything for the sustenance of all living beings in the creation. So what is it the earth cannot supply to us if she is an expansion of Lakshmi Devi? Therefore, the real problem is an overpopulation of sinful people, who are creating the kind of karma that causes the earth to respond by withdrawing her supplies. This is called the burden of the beast. So the Prabhupada describes the burden of the beast. So the Prabhupada explains, even amongst disciples and guru, or fathers and children, it's a burden for a father and mother to maintain a child. But if the child is a good child, that burden brings bliss. You wouldn't want to part with that burden for anything in the world, even though a fact is it's a burden. You have to, mother and father have to work to supply, they have to go through so much for medicals and everything else to raise the child. It's a burden. But if the child is a loving, good, obedient child, it's a pleasurable burden. But if the child is a rascal, simply a painful burden. Similarly, for the spiritual master, to maintain a disciple is a tremendous burden. Srila Prabhupada explains, The spiritual master takes karma of the disciple. When the disciple performs sinful activity, the spiritual master suffers due to his compassion. So if you have a disciple, it's a tremendous burden. However, if that disciple is following the instructions of the spiritual master and assisting him in his service to his spiritual master, such a burden is his greatest pleasure in life. It is the ultimate fulfillment of his service to the Lord to have such a burden. However, if the disciple is inconsiderate of the desire of the spiritual master, is making aparads and offenses to others, is criticizing other Vaishnavas, is not following the principles properly, simply painful burden. Srila Prabhupada would say when he would see his devotees fighting or criticizing each other or breaking the regulative principles or not following their vows or not coming to the programs, he would say, "It is simply giving me headaches." Such a burden. So we should not create in our life the burden of the beast. We should create the burden of love. The fact is, we are all burdens. We're walking on the earth. We're burdens. But Guru and Krishna and Mother Earth herself will find great pleasure in that burden. And it is explained in this purport the nature of this burden of love. That even though the child may be heavy in the arms of the mother, sometimes we see our Matajis are carrying these children. It looks like their backs are breaking carrying these children. When they're tiny little infants, what a burden. They're always crying and the mother has to sit next to the door so that she can escape properly before everyone starts chastising her. Get that baby out of this class. One lady was telling me that during Srila Prabhupada's Vyas Puja, she came and she was sitting near a door. But then gradually hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people started coming in the temple, and she found herself in the middle of the temple. And she had her baby. And there was nowhere to go. She was just praying that the baby does not cry. So everyone was giving their offerings, and baby was completely silent. And then when it came to the last offering, everyone was very, very attentive to hear. The baby started screaming. But she didn't know how to get out, because there was hundreds of people between her and any single door, and everyone was so jam-packed there was no path for her to walk in. So the baby was screaming and screaming so loud, and everybody around was saying, "Get out, get out, get that baby out of here. We can't hear the lecture, we can't hear the offer. What am I to do?" So, the baby may only weigh 9 or 10 pounds, but her screaming is a great burden. Somehow or other she escaped. And then as the baby grows, they don't walk until they're, what, about 1 year old or something? I don't know. But by the time they're big, they're big babies. You got to carry them around. Backs are aching. But yet, it's a burden of love. The mother would not give her baby away for all the wealth in the world. Similarly, the burden of a husband on a young wife, I'm not going to try to explain that. I I hear many times the burden of a young wife on a husband. Prabhupada describes the burden of a husband on a young wife. I don't know what kind of burdens you husbands are on your wives. I'm sure it's true. But let us take the instance of Sita and Ram. When Ram was banished to the forest, that's a burden. A young wife like Sita, to have to follow the path of her husband is very difficult. A woman who in the Vedic society is meant to follow the path of her husband. She's supposed to assist her husband in his service to the Lord. And that may be a burden. And it will be a burden. It has to be a burden. But is the wife willing to do it? Sita was willing to give up her beautiful palace, not just a flat somewhere in Bombay or the suburbs. She was willing to live in the forest, not just for one or two days, but for how many years? 14 years. That means she wasn't allowed to see her mother or her father or her father-in-law or her mother-in-law or any of her maidservants or any of her friends for 14 years. She wasn't allowed to wear nice saris. She had to wear tree bark. She wasn't allowed to have any of the nice comforts of Ayodhya or Mithila. In the forest there are mosquitoes, there are snakes, there are scorpions, there are lions and tigers and panthers and monkeys always trying to steal everything. There's cold and heat and rain. There's rakshasas in those days living in the forest. So this banishment of Ram was a great burden. So all the citizens of Ayodhya, including Ram himself, declared that Sita should stay home. But she said no. This burden, taking on this burden of suffering in the forest, will be my greatest pleasure in life, because in doing so I can assist you. That is the burden of a young wife, of having a husband. Similarly, in Krishna consciousness, a husband is supposed to be a first-class devotee. That means he's supposed to be renounced. Even Krishna, when he set his example, early in the morning during Brahma Muhurta, he immediately got out of bed to do his sadhana. And the Rukmini and the queens, it was a great burden for him to leave the bed and start doing his sadhana. So a Krishna conscious husband, he gets up early, he does his sadhana, and then he may have his work, and then he has so much seva, and he wants to do more and more and more seva. And for the wife it's difficult, because generally wives just like to be very domestic. But the husband, they like the husband always doing what they like to do. But the husband says, no, we must do seva. So it's a burden. However, if the husband is Krishna conscious and the wife is Krishna conscious, it's a burden of love. And the wife should consider herself so fortunate. One out of millions of births. It's taken me millions and millions of births to have such an opportunity. And it explains that when someone comes and brings
a crore of rupees to a big businessman and puts it on his lap. It's very heavy. How many pounds is a crore of rupees? You don't have 1 crore notes. 500 rupee notes, 100 rupee notes. It's a big pile. What to speak of is its change. 50 paisas. Doesn't matter. Say, bring it, put it, keep it here. It might be very heavy materially, but that heaviness gives ecstasy to the businessman. Because he loves his money. Similarly, the wife loves her husband. The guru loves his disciple. And the mother loves the child. So this is declared here to be the burden of love. And Krishna and the Yadus, they were giving such pleasure to Mother Earth. The pleasure, the burden of the Yadu dynasty on Mother Earth, although they were millions and millions and millions, it was giving her great pleasure. However, Krishna understood that the burden of separation is very difficult. And when Krishna was going to leave this world, the burden of the separation in the hearts of the Yadus was going to be so much. Out of his great love for them, he did not want to have them have to suffer that. For their pleasure, he decided they should leave the world before me. Today is the disappearance day of the great Vaishnav Thakur, Srila Murari Gupta. There is a similar story regarding him. Murari Gupta was Hanumanji in Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu's Leela. One day, Murari Gupta was contemplating. The Lord's pastimes are very inconceivable. Sometimes he comes and creates, and then at other times he destroys. I cannot understand his pastimes. How is it that Lord Ram, he performed such beautiful pastimes, and after fighting the whole war in Sri Lanka to regain Sita, he banished her to the forest for the rest of her life, never saw her again. How painful that is to a devotee. And understand that when Murari Gupta is speaking this, he's actually Hanumanji. What did Hanuman do to reunite Sita with Ram? Lord Ram, at the Malyavanta mountain at Kishkindha Kshetra, when he was living, he was weeping and crying in separation from Sita. And when Hanumanji saw this, it was unbearable to his heart. He was willing to sacrifice every bit of his life's energy exclusively for the purpose of bringing Sita back to Ram. So when Lord Ramchandra dispatched Hanuman and the other great monkey soldiers for searching for Sita, he gave Hanuman his ring. I said, I am sure you will be the one to find her. So they were searching in all the four directions of the planet Earth Sometimes they were dying of hunger and thirst because the places that they had to go. And ultimately, it was discovered by the help of Sampati, the brother of Jatayu, that Ram, his consort Sita, is in Sri Lanka. He's been kidnapped by Ravana. So Hanuman, he began to jump across the ocean, and so many obstacles were there. Samiki, Suras, terrible demons were coming out of the water, some of them were eating him. Some of them were holding onto his shadow so he could not move. But he somehow or other, in his complete dedication to getting Sita back, he destroyed them. Or he liberated them. Then Lanka personified, a great Rakshasi attacked him and he slapped her down. Then he disguised himself and he found Sita. When he saw Sita, she hadn't eaten anything. She was just crying for all that almost a year passed. In separation of Ram, and how Hanumanji's heart melted in compassion and love when he saw Sita's condition. And how he uprooted the Ashok trees and beat up all Ravana's Rakshasa soldiers. He burned a major portion of the city of Lanka with the fire of his tail. And then how he went back with Ram and fought a terrible battle against Kumbhakarna and Indrajit and so many others, all to get Sita back, all out of great devotion. And how much Hanumanji must have celebrated when he could bring the news to Sita that Ravana is dead and Ram is waiting for you. But after some time, Ram banished Sita to the forest for the rest of her life, just to show the perfect example for everyone of how a leader or a king must be exemplary and above suspicion. Can you imagine Lakshman's pain, Hanuman's pain, to see the separation between Sita and Ram? So Murari Gupta was meditating on this point. What an inconceivable thing that before Ram left this world, he banished Sita for the rest of her life to live in the forest. And then he began to think about Krishna's Leela. How Krishna, he sat there and watched the Yadu dynasty all destroy each other in a fratricidal war before he left this world. This is what the Lord does before he leaves. Murari Gupta said, I do not want to see what Lord Chaitanya does before he leaves. I have already heard what Ram did. Banished Sita. I have already heard what Krishna did. He sat and watched a whole war between his own relatives, saw them all disappear. Said, I cannot bear the thought of living without Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I cannot bear the thought of what kind of pastime he's going to perform before he leaves this world. Therefore, with great joy, I am going to leave the world first, tonight. And then he went and got a very, very sharp knife that is used to cut conch shells. And he decided, with great happiness, tonight I will end my life. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is the Lord within everyone's heart. He knows your every desire. He knows your every thought, your every word. He is your innermost friend, but he is the constant witness. Everything we look at, he sees. Everything we hear, he hears. Everything we taste, he tastes. Everything we touch, he touches. Every thought we have, he is the witness. Krishna consciousness means to be very, very conscious of our actions, our words, and our thoughts, because we are conscious that Krishna is watching. He is listening. He is the witness. And my spiritual advancement is not depending on how many people praise us as being great souls. Our spiritual advancement is dependent on what Krishna sees from inside. He is going to reward us. We can fool the world, but we cannot fool Krishna. And it's his mercy we are depending on, not popular votes or words of praise. But Krishna sees if we are sincere, earnest, and honest, then he will bestow great, great mercy upon us. So Lord Chaitanya came to Murari Gupta's house immediately. And Murari Gupta was so happy to see Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He immediately offered his very, very loving obeisances to the Lord again and again and again, and he greeted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, gave him a nice sitting place. He said, "My Lord, I am surrendered to you. My body is yours. My life is yours. How can I serve you?" Lord Chaitanya smiled at Murari Gupta and he said, "Do you really mean that? You will surrender to whatever I desire?" Murari Gupta said, "Yes, I will surrender to whatever you desire." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu whispered in Murari Gupta's ear, "Give me that knife. I want the knife that you have decided to use to kill yourself tonight. Give me the knife." Murari Gupta became very upset. Said, "What knife? Who told you this lie?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "I'm the one that gave you the knife. I'm the one that created the knife. Do you not know I am the supreme cause of everything? I know everything. I even know exactly where the knife is." Then Lord Chaitanya got up and went in the house and went right to where the knife was and came out and brought it out. Then he said to Murari Gupta that, "Why you want to leave me like this? Why you want to cause me so much pain?" Lord Chaitanya said, "Am I so bad that you don't want to stay with me anymore to the extent you want to give up your body and leave this world? Do you not know how much pleasure you give me? Do you know how much pain of separation it will cause to my heart to be without you?" Said, "Your idea is just smashing my head. You give up this idea. You are so dear to me." And when Murari Gupta saw how much the Lord loved him and how much the Lord was taking pleasure in his association out of his causeless mercy, Murari Gupta completely banished all of his desires to end his life, and he became full of ecstatic bliss. And in great happiness, Lord Chaitanya embraced Murari Gupta and began to weep tears on him. And Murari Gupta, hearing the loving words of the Lord, he just fell to the ground and started bathing the Lord's feet with his tears of ecstatic love. Other stories of Murari Gupta are not related to this verse necessarily. Should I speak? Or should we go on with this verse? I am your servant. Radhe Shyam Prabhu, what is your verdict? The time is becoming short, so I'll tell something. One time, in the house of Srivas Thakur, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu assumed the form of Narayan with four arms. And then he called out, "Garuda, Garuda! Where is Garuda?" And Murari Gupta just happened to be there at that time. And when he heard that Lord Chaitanya wanted Garuda, out of his ecstatic desire to serve the Lord, he just wanted to become Garuda. A devotee is willing to do anything, be anybody, to serve the Lord. So at that time, Garuda actually entered into the body of Murari Gupta, just to fulfill his desire. And Murari Gupta came running. He said, "My Lord, I am here, I am Garuda." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Garuda, Garuda, where is Garuda?" Murari Gupta said, "I am here, my Lord, I have come, I am Garuda. Where is Garuda? I am here." "Say it was me who carried you to Vanapur and helped you to annihilate Vanasura. It was me that was fighting against Shiva's army, and it was my claws that cut to pieces Kartikeya's peacock." Lord Chaitanya was crying out, "Where is Garuda?" He said, "My Lord, it is me! I was carrying you and your consort Satyabhama on my shoulders when we went to Indra's abode and we picked up and stole his Parijata tree. I have come. I am here. Get on my back. Ride upon me." Lord Chaitanya said, "Garuda, Garuda!" And then he jumped on the back of Murari Gupta. And Murari Gupta started running around the courtyard in the mood of Garuda. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was swaying to and fro with his forearm form, very happily riding on Garuda. This went on for a long time. And as the devotees were watching Murari Gupta jumping around with Lord Chaitanya on his back, all the devotees were chanting the holy names very loudly. They were chanting, "Jai, Jai, Hari, Hari!" Everyone was so much struck with wonder. And then Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he got off the back of Garudaji, and Murari Gupta became again Murari Gupta. And all the devotees were very much happy. They were thinking, let this sight of Lord Chaitanya riding on the back
of Murari Gupta, never leave my heart. This was the prayer of all the devotees. Let this vision be forever be enacted in my heart. This loving, intimate, ecstatic exchange between the Lord and his devotee.
Another time, in the house of Srivas Thakur, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting with Nityananda Prabhu, and Murari Gupta came in, and he offered his prostrated obeisances to the lotus feet of Lord Gaurasundar, and then to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Lord Chaitanya said, "Why have you done like this? Why you are offering your obeisances improperly? Do you not understand proper etiquette?" Murari Gupta said, "I am only following my heart. I do not understand what is the problem." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very pleasingly, he said, "Tomorrow I will reveal to you." So Murari Gupta, he left the place, and he was actually quite happy but confused. So that night he went to sleep, and he had a dream. There he saw Lord Nityananda Prabhu. He was in the mood of Balaram. There was a beautiful Anantashesha serpent over his head. And he looked like a big, strong wrestler. And he was carrying a plow and a club. And he was dressed like a cowherd boy. He was Balaram himself. And behind him was walking Lord Chaitanya. And he had a peacock feather in his hair. And he smiled at Murari Gupta and said, "Do you see? He is actually my older brother." So that morning, Murari Gupta woke up, and as he woke up in great ecstasy, he was crying out, "Nityananda, Nityananda!" And Murari Gupta's wife was very much astounded to see her husband in such ecstasy. Then he went directly to the house of Srivas Thakur, and there were sitting Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Murari Gupta first offered his prostrated obeisances to Nityananda Prabhu, then he came and offered his obeisances to Sri Gaura Chandra. Lord Chaitanya said, "What are you doing? Why are you doing like this, offering obeisances first to Nityananda Prabhu?" And Murari Gupta replied that, "I am only living by your will. You are the master, you are the controller of my life. I am like a grain of straw and you are like the wind. You can take me wherever you want to take me. I will do whatever you want me to do." So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased. At that time, Gadadhar Pandit was giving Lord Chaitanya chewing spices, and Lord Chaitanya was chewing them. And then he took out some of the spices from his own mouth and he gave it to Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta took it from in his hand and in great ecstatic love he put it in his own mouth and he started chewing the very spices that Lord Chaitanya chewed. This is the transcendental perfection of the soul. And then Lord Chaitanya told Murari Gupta, "Now wash your hands, because that came out of my mouth." And Murari Gupta, instead of washing his hands, he rubbed his hands on the top of his head. Sri Gaura Sundar, he said, "What have you done? You have put my remnants of my mouth on your head? You will lose your caste. Now you are contaminated." And Murari Gupta
in great ecstasy, he said, the perfection of my purification is to take the remnants of you and place it on my head. And when Lord Chaitanya heard the faith of Murari Gupta, he entered into an ecstatic trance in the mood of Lord Narayan, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, my form is all pure. Whoever comes in contact with my form, whoever thinks of my form or touches my form becomes completely purified. Lord Chaitanya said, but there is a sannyasi in Varanasi named Prakashananda. And he is always cutting my form to pieces. He is trying to destroy my form. He says that my form is an illusion. He said, that rascal. He said, I have already put leprosy in his body, but he does not know it. He claims that my name is an illusion, that my form is an illusion, that my abode, the holy Dham, is an illusion, that my pastimes are an illusion. This is the greatest disgrace. Out of my ultimate causeless mercy, I descend to this world to reveal my eternal name for the purification of all. And he is saying my name is an illusion. I have come to demonstrate the eternal pastimes of the spiritual world, of my intimate loving relationships with my devotees. And he says that my pastimes are an illusion and that my devotees are an illusion. I have brought the holy Dham from the spiritual sky to this world for people could come and worship me and be purified by my own abode. And he says, my abode is an illusion. And I descend in my original form to attract everyone to my eternal loving service. And he claims that my form, my body, is an illusion. He is an illusion. Therefore, this Mayavad philosophy is simply trying to cut my body to pieces. But you should know that anyone who understands the eternal nature of my name, my form, my pastimes, my abode, and my devotees, I will purify that devotee and bring them back to the spiritual abode. And you, Murari Gupta, you have understood and honored the merciful form that I have descended on. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Murari Gupta his great benediction, embraced him with great love. And Murari Gupta was so much ecstatic, being embraced by the Lord on one side and chewing the spices from the Lord's mouth on another side. He went home just completely bewildered by his ecstasies. And he told his wife, I want to eat. And his wife, Murari Gupta's wife, was a great devotee, always anxious to serve her husband. So she cooked nice prasad, and she brought it to her husband. And he took the rice. Murari Gupta mixed the rice with ghee. And then he took it and he said, Krishna, eat, 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 Krishna, eat. Then he started throwing the rice and ghee on the floor. Then he'd pick up another handful and said, Krishna, eat, and throw it on the floor. Then he would mix more rice with ghee, Krishna, eat, and threw it on the floor. Then he told his wife, bring more. So she brought more. And he was just putting more rice and ghee and scattering it all over the floor in great ecstasy. Krishna, eat, eat! His wife was looking at him. watching. She was astonished. She was thinking, my husband is a very great devotee. She did not question his intentions. So early the next morning, Lord Chaitanya came to Murari Gupta's house. Murari Gupta offered his prostrated obeisances. My lord, why have you come so early in the morning? Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu replied, I have come to get medicine. And Murari Gupta said, oh, you have come to get medicine because you have indigestion. And Lord Chaitanya very loudly, he said, you rascal, how did you know I have indigestion? Of course I have indigestion. Because you were telling me, eat, eat, Krishna, eat, eat, Krishna, eat, eat, Krishna, eat. And you were throwing the food on the floor with ghee. And I was eating it. If you tell me to eat, I eat. Because you're such a great devotee and you have so much love and devotion, whatever you offer, I have to eat. So I was eating all this ghee off the floor. But it was because you gave me this indigestion, therefore the water from your water pot will cure my disease. Then Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked up the water pot that Murari Gupta would personally drink from, his remnants, and Lord Chaitanya drank it. And Murari Gupta fell to the ground in ecstasy to see the nature of the Lord's love for his devotee. And by doing this, Lord Chaitanya showed how he is anxious to take the remnants of his own devotee. How much exalted is a Vaishnava. And all the servants and maidservants and family members of Murari Gupta, upon seeing Lord Chaitanya drinking from Murari Gupta's cup, they were all immersed in ecstatic prema. And it is described herein that because Murari Gupta was such a devotee, all of his servants, all of his maidservants, all of his family members, they all achieved the mercy of Krishna prema. Just because of their relationship with him. Therefore, the conclusion of this story is there is no higher position than to be a servant or a maidservant of a Vaishnava. Just by sincerely being a servant of a Vaishnava, Krishna will give you the most special, intimate, loving mercy, as he did to all the servants in Murari Gupta's house. Lord Chaitanya said about Murari Gupta, although he appears to be a doctor, anyone who claims that he is only a doctor, that person's mentality is hellish. And he will go to hell. Because Murari Gupta is a Vaishnava. And although externally he may be a doctor, any patient who comes to him, he will cure him of his physical, mental, and spiritual diseases and give him the medicine of the holy name by which he can go back home, back to Godhead, through the congregational chanting of Krishna Nama. When Murari Gupta was very young and Lord Chaitanya was still performing his scholarly pastime as Nimai Pandit, they were both classmates in the ashram of Gangadas Pandit. And Murari Gupta was senior to Lord Chaitanya in age. He was one of the elder and very, very learned students of Gangadas Pandit. But after Nimai Pandit came to the class, he became the star pupil of all pupils. And he was always challenging everyone to arguments and debates. And devotees could not tolerate this. And Murari Gupta was a devotee. So one time, Lord Chaitanya said to Murari Gupta that, I challenge you. You ask me any question, I will answer. Murari Gupta said, why are you so arrogant? Why are you so proud? Why are you always challenging everybody? Lord Chaitanya said, you just ask me a question, and I will answer. So Murari Gupta asked him a question. So Lord Chaitanya immediately answered the question. Then Lord Chaitanya asked him a question. Then he would answer. Then Lord Chaitanya would argue and debate and defeat him. And then they started a big, big debate. But Murari Gupta was so learned that by Lord Chaitanya's pastime, they were both debating each other and neither could win the other. So ultimately, Lord Chaitanya could never be defeated. So he told Murari Gupta, tomorrow you read some more, tomorrow I will ask you more questions. And then Lord Chaitanya, he touched Murari Gupta with his lotus hand. And just by being touched by him, a thrill of ecstasy filled Murari Gupta's body. He just began trembling with ecstatic love. And he began to think, who is this Nimai Pandit? He has such scholarship, no human being could possibly be so learned. And when he touches me, I feel ecstatic emotions. I should surrender to him and be his student. And then he said to Lord Chaitanya, I want to study under you. So from that day on, Murari Gupta was one of Nimai Pandit's students. Later on, after Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas in Jagannath Puri, Murari Gupta came to meet Lord Chaitanya. And it is described how Murari Gupta was actually sitting in a distant place because he was so humble. He didn't feel worthy of coming before the Lord directly. Although Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was so happy to see his devotees. He was just embracing each one of them and praising them, putting garlands and sandalwood on them and affectionately speaking with such love to them. But Murari Gupta was sitting in a distant place because he felt, I am so contaminated and I am so fallen. How can I come before the Lord? But Lord Chaitanya forcibly came and called Murari Gupta, you come. And Lord Chaitanya began to embrace him and praise him. Such love between the Lord and his servant. And on one occasion, Lord Chaitanya began to explain that Murari Gupta is a great devotee of Lord Ram. And one time I explained to him that Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Ram and Krishna are the same person, but the pastimes of Krishna are the essence of all sweetness. You should worship Krishna. And Murari Gupta was such an obedient, loving disciple of Lord Chaitanya that he could not say no to his instruction. So that night he went home and he began to try to chant the name of Krishna. But whenever he would try to chant the name of Krishna, the thought of his eternally beloved, worshipable Lord Sri Ram came into his heart. And the entire night he cried in great agony. And the next morning he came before Lord Chaitanya and he told him that I have come to ask your permission that I can give up my body, end my life. Lord Chaitanya said, why? He said, because you have given me the instruction to worship Krishna instead of Ram. But I have already given my heart to Ram, and Lord Ram will not give it back to me. I cannot. Through the entire night, I tried to chant Krishna's name, but I could only think of Ram. And therefore, miserably, I cried and cried and cried all night long. But you are my master. If I cannot follow your instruction, then I should end my life. But this is an instruction that is impossible for me to follow. When Lord Chaitanya heard this, in great ecstatic happiness, he embraced Murari Gupta. He said, "You are Hanuman. Your love for Ram is chaste and pure. I have come to test your love for the Supreme Lord Sri Ramchandra. Blessed is that devotee who never gives up the worship of his Lord. And blessed is that Lord who, if a devotee tries to give it up, he drags him back by the hair." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu staged this pastime just to show the world the pure chastity of Murari Gupta's love for Lord Sri Ramchandra. On another occasion, Lord Chaitanya asked Murari Gupta to speak the glories of Ram, and Lord Chaitanya became so ecstatic that Lord Chaitanya personally painted on the forehead of Murari Gupta, "Ramdas." And both dancing in great happiness. Murari Gupta was one of the intimate associates who were always there at the house of Shivas, dancing in transcendental ecstatic love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is considered to be one of the most important, empowered, and intimate associates of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So on this day, we should pray to Murari Gupta out of his causeless mercy to grant us the medicine of his great compassion. We are all spiritually sick. We all require spiritual physician and good medicine. Murari Gupta exemplified the perfect spiritual physician. And by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he had the perfect spiritual medicine, the holy name of Krishna. So such great, wonderful devotees. When the Lord disappeared from the world, he gradually brought all of his intimate associates with him. This is his lila. And the burden of separation from the Lord's devotees from the Lord is something that neither the Lord or his devotee could bear. In fact, when Lord Krishna left Vrindavan, living in Dwarka, it describes that every night he would just cry in separation from Sri Radharani and the gopis. The burden of separation. Today is the beginning of the month of Kartik. It is a special month. It is a month that is considered to be a personification of Srimati Radharani herself. Just as Srimati Radharani is the ultimate giver of devotion, this month of Kartik is also the ultimate giver of devotion. It is a month where devotees are meant to keep their minds very, very much deeply absorbed in devotional service, hearing about Krishna, chanting Krishna's names, associating with devotees, worshipping the deity, remembering Krishna. It is a very opportune month, and it is especially a very auspicious time to be in the holy dham of Vrindavan. Many devotees do their Kartik Vrata by remaining within Vrindavan. However, it is said that the abode of Vrindavan and the abode of Navadvip are non-different. Vrindavan is Madhurya Dham and Navadvip is Odarya Dham. Madhurya means full of spiritual sweetness and ras. And Odarya Dham is full of that same sweetness and ras plus one other feature, the magnanimous quality that it's willing to extend and give that ras and sweetness to everyone without consideration of one's qualifications or disqualifications. Therefore, great acharyas like Thakur Bhakti Vinod have explained that Vrindavan is the supreme spiritual abode of the Lord in all of its sweetness. But Navadvip is even more. It has all of that. Plus, without considering offenses, it gives that sweetness of Vrindavan to everyone. So it is very, very fortunate for all of us during this holy month of Kartik. We will be spending a major portion of the month in Sri Navadvip Dham, Gaur Mandala Bhumi, where we will be day and night completely immersed in no other activity than hearing the glories of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who is none other than Radha and Krishna in one transcendental form, and being covered by the sacred dust of Navadvip Dham. And not only that, but in the association of hundreds of devotees bathing in Mother Ganga and loudly chanting Krishna's holy name. Shri Navadvip Dham ki, Shri Vrindavan Dham ki, Shri Kartik Mas ki, Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki, Shri Radha Gopinath ki, Gobhakta Vrinda ki, Gopamanandi, Murari Gupta ki. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.